Dear Your Holiness, Pope Francis, I'm a Unitarian Universalist minister in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You may wonder why I'm writing you. First, let me start by thanking you for your gracious hosting in Rome this past week of our Philadelphia delegation. Mayor Nutter, Governor Corbett, and Archbishop Chaput visited to personally invite you to attend the World Conference of Families, which will take place here in Philadelphia in September of 2015. I want to add my warm, enthusiastic encouragement that you do come visit Philadelphia, the city of brother and sisterly love. We would love to treat you to mango chicken from Rangoon, our Burmese restaurant, or we'll take you out for sushi at Morimoto. It would delight us to no end for our orchestra and new conductor, Yannick Nezet-Seguin, to play for you. And we want to give you a tour of the new Barnes Collection buildings with Renoirs and Cezannes telling stories from the walls. We would be deeply honored to give you a tour of the northwest section of our city where religious pluralism has thrived for over 300 years since early Quaker William Penn created a holy experiment of religious tolerance. And we have to extend the invitation for you to preach here at our church. We've had Tillich, Niebuhr, and Dr. King in our pulpit, and we could not fully express the honor it would be if you would preach here. If you're here next weekend, we could take you to our Rebuilding Together Philadelphia project in the Mantua neighborhood, where we are helping a deserving family to make their home safer and more comfortable. It pains our hearts that 31% of the families with children in our city live below the poverty line. And we know that Catholics care deeply about that. And we also want to introduce you to our efforts in fighting against mass incarceration. We, the United States, are the nation with the highest imprisonment rate in the world, and millions of people here are devastated by this overly punitive and regressive system. We want to show you some of the best and connect you with the most painful in our lives, as that's what we think you'd want to see during your time here. Like many of my congregants, for my entire life, I've had close friendships with Catholics who we deeply admire and love. We break bread and share fellowship with them. We are working side by side in Pennsylvania with Catholics to improve public schools, to reduce hunger, to help the homeless, and to improve immigration justice. We are very aware that there are hundreds of millions of spiritually vibrant and ethical Catholics on every continent of the globe doing some of the most important justice work. The second reason I write is more broad than that. Pope Francis, as the leader of nearly 1.2 billion Catholics, I believe you are the most exciting and hope-inspiring new religious leader on the international stage in decades. One of my strongest leaders, Jen Leiby, said, "It looks like the Catholics found somebody to lead who's a lot like Jesus." And I agree. Every person of faith and goodwill has an opportunity, in my opinion, to cherish your gifts of hope and deep faith. Now, I want to be frank and say I'm not an unconditional supporter of the papacy. This sermon departs significantly from 3 years ago when I gave a sermon entitled "Extradite the Pope." In that message, I added my voice to the thousands who say your predecessor, Pope Benedict, was significantly responsible for the perpetration and cover-up of priests sexually violating thousands of children around the world. I still believe Pope Benedict should be held legally accountable in countries where the abuse took place. or there should be an authentic and thorough truth and reconciliation process. I see that you have appointed a new task force to look into this massive epidemic. I pray that you have the power and the faith to put a stop to these absolutely unacceptable acts. Recently, in an interview, you seemed defensive and off track in answering a question about the abuse crisis. I know you're hardworking, and I know you're an imperfect human being like everybody else. I know that more often than I would like to remember, I have misstated things in my ministry, and I cannot imagine the stress you have with such a high percentage of your comments being broadcast to the world press. So just know that in good conscience, I had to address the abuse crisis in this letter, about which many of us remain deeply concerned, but we're here and ready to help with open hearts. And this does not change the fact that so many of us are hopeful and excited by what you are saying and doing. You've been photographed washing the feet of female convicts in prison and embracing the face of a deformed man. You're quoted as saying of women who consider abortion because of poverty or rape, who can remain unmoved before such painful situations. Of gay people, you said, God looks at them not with condemnation, but with love. And to divorced and remarried Catholics who are by rule forbidden from taking communion, you said that what is true about communion is true for everybody. This is a crucial rite. It's not a prize for the perfect, but a powerful medicine and nourishment for the weak. You also said in a sermon, how is it that when a homeless person dies because of exposure to the elements, no, it does not make the news, but when the stock market drops 2 points, it hits the news all over the world. Something is out of whack, and we're all called to try and adjust it. You have shown powerful humility by consistently saying that you think of yourself first and foremost as a priest to parishioners. That's when you're in charge of 1.2 billion people. Recently, you surprised a local priest by entering his booth to give your own confession. And one of the most common things you're known for saying to people, going back to the days of walking the streets of the slums of Buenos Aires, is reza por mí, pray for me. We are, many of us, praying for you, dear Pope, and I ask that you pray for us. There are so many examples of when I'm looking at you, I see you as a beacon of hope. I keep pinching myself and saying something will change. But right now, you're such a beacon of hope and inspiration to so many. I'm not an expert on Vatican politics, but I believe that you are facing intense obstacles opposing change. You have spoken out lovingly about gay and homosexual folks. You have even said it's okay to be an atheist. And I can only imagine the pushback you get in the Vatican from that College of Cardinals that was appointed by Benedict and John Paul. And as hard as it may be, which we can only imagine, you seem to simply do what Jesus would have you do. And in this way, your papacy has shown all humans who wish to pay attention that in the context of our own lives, we are called to stretch past preconceived notions or real limitations, and we are called to take the action of decency and love and mercy when we can. And many times we think we can't when we can. Do the loving thing. You remind us that we need to say, I'm sorry, and ask forgiveness, and make tough changes, even when we don't want to. You remind us that we all benefit from people praying for us or sending us good, heartfelt wishes. Our Unitarian Universalist Church, and most every religious organization that I know of, needs some of what your leadership is offering. Your heart seems to radiate authenticity when you say that you prefer a church which is bruised and hurting and dirty because it has been out on the streets, rather than a church which is unhealthy from being confined and clinging to its own security. Amen, Your Holiness. Amen. By the way, next time you and President Obama are together, perhaps you could come as special guest to our new Unitarian Universalist headquarters in Boston. We have a tremendous heritage going back to early Christianity, and many in our faith tradition are working to throw risk aside and not be afraid of getting dirty or bruised from being in the streets. Stop focusing so much on our own security as an institution, whatever that may give us. We have lots in common with you, dear Pope, and would love to partner more in ways that can positively impact our fellow human beings and our beloved planet. I cannot let this letter end without saying how exciting it is to have a Pope from the Americas. We're about 400,000 miles away from your homeland, Argentina, but we are proud of you, and we're grateful for the experiences and perspectives you bring from the Americas and from South America. And I have to mention that it's pretty cool having a Pope who really knows soccer from the perspective of this side of the pond. If Lionel Messi in the Argentinian team in that beautiful blue do well in the World Cup in Brazil this summer, I honestly will be happy for you, Your Holiness. I honestly will. Pope Francis, I imagine that you know better than most anybody how our world has so much pain and brokenness. You represent 18% of the world's 7 billion people. We Unitarian Universalists represent 1/10 of 1% of the U.S. population. In this way, perhaps we are unexpected but perfect partners to find common ground and work together to celebrate life and to heal the planet. And if it goes well, I know that we can invite others in to this partnership very fast. Dear Pope, you are a beacon so that others can be beacons. You remind us that we can all lay on hands of love and healing to others. Our eyes are on you. Our hearts are with you. And we're praying for you with compassion, service, and empowerment. I'm going to send this letter in the mail to the Vatican tomorrow. Blessings be. Amen.